Welcome to our CM podcast. This is the first of our series. We will be doing an overview of different Svarim that, with the help of God, I have managed to complete. And I always really wanted to do a synopsis for people to be able to benefit from what I would see as the highlights of the Sefer. So even those who don't have access or simply don't have time to go through all these Svarim will nonetheless be able to benefit from some of the main points that I think have been highlighted and need to be publicized and implemented by the public. So, in this series, we will be doing a Siyum on Sefer HaMaimarim, Melukat Vav. It is a book of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that was published based on his edited Hasidic discourses. The Rebbe, throughout his 40-plus years of leadership of the Chabad movement, recited hundreds upon hundreds of Hasidic discourses, which are very different than his regular talks. And only a select few of them were actually published in an edited and complete format and were then compiled into a six-volume set called Sefer HaMaimarim Melukat. So this is volume six, which actually contains the last of the Maimarim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that he edited, including the last Maimarim that he edited of Ata Tetzaveh. While the Maimarim were prepared by the Chazrim of the Rebbe, they were edited and reviewed by the Rebbe himself, and therefore they contain a much greater authenticity than all of the other Hasidic discourses. So let's get straight to the subject. This Sefer of Melukat Vav, it contains 10 edited Maimarim of the Rebbe, which were all edited and distributed in the year Tavshin Nun Beis 5752, 1992, but were said in various times, one of them being said in the year 1968, another one in 1970, another one in 1985. So while the recital of these discourses differ, their editing, the common denominator is that all their editing took place in the year of 1992 and were then distributed and compiled into volume 6 of Sefer HaMaimarim Melukat. Another unique part of this volume is that at the end of the volume it contains many different types of styles of indexes for all the six volume series, which is actually very, very useful when you want to look something up specifically and you just don't know where to go. Let's not forget, this was before the time that we had search machines such as Eitzer HaChachma, the internet, the Hebrew books, etc., that weren't able to do the job for us, and therefore these mafteches, which is otherwise known as a key, an index, were very, very important for anyone to be able to get to the information he needs to without reading through all six volumes from beginning to end. There's also an index here of accordance to not just topic, but also in accordance to the psukim in the Torah. It shows where all the psukim that are mentioned in these volumes are recorded on which page. Also all the different Talmudic texts, the Yerushalmi, the Bavli, Kisvei Arizal, etc., etc., goes through about 30 different or 40 different svarim and indexes everything, anytime that they were mentioned or referenced to within the six-volume series, it references you to where you can find that discussed. So it's actually very, very helpful. So let's get straight to the subject. The first discourse in this book is a discourse that was said in 1928, Tavshin Chav Ches, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and the title is V'haya Be'im Ahu Yitaka B'Shefer Gadol. And it speaks about the spiritual effect of that great shofar that will be blown in the future and how we'll be able to bring all the lost souls and lost Jews back to Jerusalem. Basically explains that the regular blowing of a regular shofar does not have enough power, does not elicit enough godly energy to be able to attract and bring back all the lost Jews. And to be able to do that, you really need to resort to the great shofar. And we're going to have to see in this discourse what is it in this great shofar that has it that's able to attract everyone back to Jerusalem. So he begins with explaining that the blow of the regular shofar, even though of course it reaches into the inner parts of the heart and is explained in Hasidic discourses, the Baal Shem Tov that represents the scream of the essence of the soul, of the inner part of the soul, nonetheless above in heaven it only elicits a revelation of godliness that has relation to the world, meaning it's low level. Being that that's the case, it's possible to ignore it. It's possible to overcome it. It's possible to conceal it. And that's why it's unable to arouse everybody, because some people are so deep in their darkness or so deep in their distance and state of loss from religion, from God, that small bump of energy doesn't give them enough life force. It's like someone who hasn't slept for 2 days taking a regular coffee that he takes every day. It's not going to affect him that much. The Shefer Gadol, however, that will be blown in the future, that is able to elicit a revelation that's way above the world's, meaning it's so powerful that it can zap everyone. And no one's personal distance or darkness can be hidden or concealed from this revelation. The Rebbe then goes on to explain how one of the major differences between the small Shefer of today and the big Shefer of the future is not just in its effect, but it's also in how it's blown. As the Shefer of today must be blown by us, by humanity, by the Jewish people. If you set it up to a computer that it blew the Shefer on Rosh Hashanah, you didn't do the mitzvah and it didn't affect and elicit anything. And the reason is because only in the beginning of creation did God arouse within himself the tainug, the desire, the passion to create creation. But after that, we need to arouse him. We need to show God that we're interested in him and we want him and arouse within him the desire to be interested in us. Very similar to a relationship in marriage. While in the beginning, we all came with our own incentive to get married, within the marriage itself, we always need to be investing in the partner in order to keep the marriage fresh and exciting. So the purpose of blowing Shefer in Rosh Hashanah is that inner scream of our soul to God to tell him, we love you, we want you, please desire us as well. However, by the Shefer Gadol, by the great Shefer of the future, there will be no such thing. It will not be blown by us. It will actually be blown by, I guess, God. It'll be blown by heaven. It'll be blown on its own. God will do all the work. In the wording of Kabbalah Chassidus, this is called an Esrusa de La'el. It will be a complete arousal from above. So while the small Shefer blown today is arousal from below, the future Shefer is an arousal from above. And the Rebbe goes through in the Maimer to understand why exactly is it that this Shefer cannot be blown by us, this big Shefer. Why does it have to come only from above? Another point that's addressed is that if the Shefer Gadol is only coming from heaven, then it's not something real. If it's not coming really from the person, then it's just an external and temporary arousal that will be gone as soon as the Shefer stops. So the Rebbe explained something very interesting. And that is that sometimes the arousal of mercy that a person can do for someone else is not because of anything actively that the person who you're having mercy on is doing, but simply because of his such low, low state. And that person may be in such a low state that he doesn't even know he needs help. Such as imagine if you met someone who you knew, a very good friend of yours, you met him on the street and he's homeless already, he's divorced, homeless, living on the street with tattered clothing, eats from the garbage. He doesn't know he's sick. He doesn't know he's low. He doesn't know he's lost. He thinks this is his life. But you, who knew who he really was, will arouse such mercy when you see him, even though he did nothing actively to arouse the mercy. And therefore, the Rebbe says like this, that the lost Jews, those who were so distant, their state of sorrow will arouse such a deep cry in heaven when God sees his son is in such a low state. That will arouse a deep cry in heaven, and that deep cry, the deepest of the cries, the Yitakah B'Shefer Gadol, will then arouse a deep-seated energy within the soul of that lost Jew, to the point that he on his own will then want to go to Jerusalem. In other words, it's not just that the man who met his best friend homeless on the street brought him in for a nice, delicious dinner fit for a king and then sent him back onto the street, so he only saved him for a few hours. But rather that he sat down with him and he explained to him how, you know, look at where have you been, let's look at our pictures together, how we used to be. And he arouses within him the will to change. So even though it's coming from above, it nonetheless is arousing a change in the below. So on the one hand, the Yitakah B'Shefer Gadol, it can't be done by man actively, as it's such a state of pity that even we don't know we need that pity. On the other hand, it elicits such a high and strong, powerful elicitation that it arouses the deepest and darkest of the souls to want to come to Jerusalem. So with the Shefer Gadol, while it starts off as an Asurusa de La'ela, an arousal from above, similar to in call was the first redemption from Egypt, nonetheless, at the end of the day, it causes that there be an arousal from below on its own. And then the Rebbe concludes in this Maimer with a very, very famous statement that many are aware of, and this is its source in this Hasidic discourse, that in certain respects, this great Shefer that will be sounded in the future has already begun sounding now. Like in an earthquake, there's some preparatory small earthquakes before the big earthquake hits. And so to hear, why do we have such an unexplainable huge boom of the Baal Tshuva movement? People who were completely lost and distanced from Judaism, gave everything up of their secular life and came to God, came to the Jewish religion, became frum, adapted themselves to all the 613 limitations and restrictions of Jewish life. It's not something explainable. It's not something that makes sense. There's no incentive. No one's going to give you money for doing so. You don't see any actual benefit in taking upon yourself religious observance. It's a call of the soul. It's a deep-seated call of the soul, like a magnet. You're just attracted. You don't even know why or how. You're just attracted. Your soul is driving you there. So the Rebbe here says that this Shofar Gadol has already begun. Its pre-sounds already now in the end of exile. And that's why we see thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Jews from all walks of life and distances of backgrounds away from Judaism who are drawn back to Judaism. It is not due to a seminar that proved to them the virtues of Judaism, and it is not due to some amazing speech, but rather it's an inner call that's elicited from the Shofar Gadol of above. The lesson of the conclusion of this discourse is that a person should know that even his great services of God that he accomplishes in this world are really all a result of the power that God gives him. Just like the Shofar Gadol is the one that will elicit the arousal within the Jew who becomes the Baal Tshuva. So really, even though he's doing it, who pushed him and who aroused him and who brought him there, it's God. So too, we really need to recognize that everything that we accomplish is not due to our own doings, but due to the godly power and incentive and inspiration that he has given us. And that inspires a person with an aspect of bittul, of nullification to God, to know that even my advantages and my greatness is only from him. This is the end of the first discourse, and we will continue with the next one. In the summary series, I hope you enjoy. Please remember, you're able to leave a comment on the podcast if you want to comment on something or ask any questions. You need to sign in and get yourself a username in order to have access to leave comments on this audio. That's it for now. We'll continue with segment two of this Siyum summary series in our next podcast.
Thank you for listening to ShulchanAruchHarav.com. Our free services of making Torah knowledge available to the public depends on donors like you. Please help us continue our work through making even a small contribution at ShulchanAruchHarav.com under the Daily Halacha Dedication section or in the subscription page. Also, check out our online courses and many Sefarim available for purchase that will both enhance your Torah knowledge and help support our work.